Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Project Zion podcast. This is Brittany Mangelson, and I will be your host for today's episode. And I'm actually really excited about the conversation we're going to have today. It is going to be part of our Steamers and Sodas series, which is all about children's ministry in Community of Christ. And I am joined by several ministers from the Mid-Atlantic Mission Center who have been doing children's ministry online. And I was thinking that they started when COVID hit, and it turns out that they started actually earlier this year, I think in January. So I'm really excited because as the church has migrated to the internet, I know that a lot of congregations and mission centers and house churches have wondered what to do about the kids. And it's just how to migrate church onto Zoom has been an interesting and ongoing conversation. So I have 5 ministers who have been doing it for now 6 months. And so I'm really excited to introduce you to Meredith Carr, Jim Schaefer, Ann Schaefer, Joanna Wardrop, and Aaron Hook. So we are just going to go through and give introductions to all of you. And so let us know who you are, where you live, and then how you're involved in the congregation or your mission center, and then maybe just an interesting fact about you. So who wants to go first?
I can go first. I'm Ann Schaefer, and I'm from the Gatchaville congregation in Pennsylvania, so South Central Pennsylvania. Fun fact about me, I teach fourth grade, but I also know how to juggle. So my fourth graders love that when I do that in class. It's a lot of fun.
I'm Jim Schaefer. I'm also at the Gatchaville congregation. And Ann and I both live in York, Pennsylvania, which is about 30 minutes north of Baltimore. I also teach for a living. And so I've actually been teaching online with high school age students for the last 4 to 5 years. So I feel like I have some experience there that's helped to kind of shape the way that we've done things in an online environment. And interesting fact, I cannot juggle. So that doesn't help. I don't know what's interesting about me. I got nothing.
You play the guitar.
I play the guitar. Okay, let me say that. An interesting fact about me, I do play the guitar. I also function as a worship leader when we're face-to-face at Gatchaville and also at Deer Park during the summers at our church camps.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Who's next?
My name is Meredith Carr, and I live in Rising Sun, Maryland. I attend the Wilmington, Delaware congregation, and I am the invitational support minister for the Mid-Atlantic Mission Center. Interesting fact about me, I joined this church in 2016, so not all that long ago.
Thanks, Meredith.
I'm Aaron Hook, and I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for the invitation. I belong to the Wilmington, Delaware congregation with Meredith, and I'm from Newark, Delaware. I homeschool our 2 children, and I was really having a hard time finding something interesting about me, but we recently, over the past few years, started camping, trying to go to as many national parks as we can. So that's what I like to do.
Hi, my name is Joanna Wardrop. I go to the Woodbury congregation in Woodbury, which is in southern New Jersey. In my church, I work with the children. I'm also a member of the children and youth ministry team for the Mid-Atlantic Mission Center. And the fun fact I could think of, which kind of makes me feel old, is I have actually been working with the children in our church and mission center for 31 years.
Wow, that I absolutely love the seasoned ministry that is coming to this group and just the general working with children, whether it be homeschooling or a public school teacher, being able to really bring your giftedness that you do outside of church and then also bring it into church. So I think that this is going to be the best group of people to have this conversation. So thank you all for being here today. So the first question I was going to ask everybody is simply, what did children's ministry look like before COVID? But now, like I said, I realized that you all have been doing children's ministry online since January. So I guess I'm curious, what sparked the desire to bring children's ministry online before COVID? Y'all were pretty prophetic in that. So can somebody speak to that and just let us know, you know, why was there the drive to move children's ministry online in the first place?
So Erin and her two children, Hannah and Noah, started attending our congregation in 2018. Hannah and Noah were the only two children in our entire congregation. And they were the first kids that we've had in a very long time. So we didn't have really a children's Sunday school kind of in place. We did, develop a program, but Hannah and Noah were the only two children in the program. And after a reunion last year, where Erin, Hannah, and Noah came up and the kids had a chance to meet the other kids in the Mission Center, and it was just such a great week, we started to think about how can we keep the kids connected? How can we help Hannah and Noah have a Sunday school experience that's more, more meaningful is not really the right word, but, you know, a way they can stay connected with the friendships that they made at camp. And turns out the kids were already online talking and doing things and staying connected. And I just thought, when we were trying to decide what we could do, I thought, how can we bring in an element of church into this online connection? And that's when I thought, what if we did online Sunday school? So when we first started, the kids were actually logging on from the congregation so that they could be connected with their friends. And Gatchelville has, they had an amazing vacation Bible school and Sunday school program kind of already in place. So I approached them about, would they be interested in kind of hosting the Sunday school? And they were so receptive to it. I mean, really, I got such a positive response from them. They were excited, and Ann and Jim kind of took the idea and ran with it. Our first class was in January, and we've learned a lot from that. But it's been a wonderful experience, I think, for the kids.
Yeah, thank you, Meredith, for starting that, because that was, I mean, it was really neat for my kids to be able to make those connections with kids that they had been to camp with. And then they got excited about, every Sunday I get to see friends I don't always get to see. Usually it was just two or three times a year when we'd come to Mission Center activities, whether it was, you know, at our campgrounds or just Mission Center activities. But now they are getting to see them quite often. So that was a really nice connection.
And I think the other thing to kind of note is we definitely originally started off just with Wilmington and Gatchelville. But even in late January, early February, we were extending that out to other congregations. Like I know the Bloomsburg congregation in our Mission Center had joined in for one or two of those opportunities. And so we found that a lot of our congregations were kind of in the same boat that Wilmington was in, that they had, you know, one person or two people that were running the Sunday school and were struggling to kind of keep that together and stay motivated and keep like some sort of consistency there. And so those connections, you know, didn't just extend even early on to just Gatchelville and Wilmington, but really extended out throughout the whole Mission Center.
We're also new members of Community of Christ. We joined in January of 2019. So prior to that, I was like investigating other churches, and we attended a church for a while, and they had a really thriving children's religious education program. And my daughter, who's 12, was really upset to leave her friends behind. And she was also disappointed when I finally found a church that I felt like was our spiritual home. And that was a hard thing for me to experience, her sadness for not having people, her peers that she connected with, because, you know, they weren't there with her. So having gone to reunion and being able to meet other children within our faith tradition, she was really excited. She really made some connections, and she and Noah asked to go to Gatchelville. Can we go to Gatchelville? It's only an hour away, but, you know, to do that on a weekly and bi-weekly, it was just too much for me to be able to do. So it was really nice, because like just being able to talk about it freely and feel like I loved the children's program that our church offers. I think the curriculum is wonderful. And I think it's great that Meredith was like listening to what I was saying. And she was just so open and thoughtful about meeting the kids' spiritual needs. So I'm really grateful that everyone's worked together to offer that to them. And I know that families elsewhere are probably experiencing the same thing. And it's just, it's really exciting. And it really, I think, helps my children feel like the church really values them by making these opportunities available.
I actually wasn't involved in the Sunday school class at the beginning. My children would get their Sunday school at the Woodbury congregation. But when COVID hit and we were scrambling to try to find something for these kids, I was told about the Zoom Sunday school. And my girls, we tried it and they loved it. Immediately, the same thing what Anne was saying, because they got to see the friends that they don't really get to see too often. So I'm a little bit later coming to the party, but we've really gotten a lot out of it, and it doesn't make you feel so isolated and alone when you're social distancing.
I really appreciate when I hear all of you talk, you are identifying issues that many ministers and community of Christ have post camp or post a big event. You know, how do we keep these kids connected when we go to a mission center conference, or when we go to World Conference, or when we go to reunion, and then we all go back to our congregations? And I think that this is a conversation that ministers have been happening, well, probably since the very beginning of our church. But you all actually did something about it. And then it turned out to be a massive blessing because of COVID. So I just really, really appreciate that you didn't let this question that hangs over so many people's heads of like, oh, how do we keep these kids connected? You didn't leave it at a question. You actually did something about it, which to me is really inspiring and just shows a lot of intentionality. And I think it was Erin that said that it helps make her kids feel like the church cares about them. And I get that sense too, because again, you actually did something about the question that plagues so many of our groups. So I really, really appreciate that. So I am interested to hear what the response has been like with other parents. Obviously, Erin is a parent of kids that have participated. So is Joanna's kids. They've participated. But I know that sometimes doing ministry online with kids can be tricky because of a lot of different reasons that we probably don't need to get into, but it can be a point of hesitation for parents. So I'm wondering what it was like to pitch this idea to the parents, and then what their response has been like.
I know first starting off, a lot of the parents were just excited that there was something that was being offered. We got a lot of response from a lot of parents just saying, thank you, you know, for putting this out there, that there's an opportunity to reach out to our kids. I think some more of the anxiety came from some of the kids not knowing when we first started off, not knowing each other, you know, because we had people from other mission centers. Every at the very beginning, we had people, well, starting when COVID hit, we had people from all different places that were logging on, which was wonderful. But then my kids were like trying to find kids that they knew in that mix. It was a blessing, you know, with that they were meeting new friends, but it also, you know, was a little bit different for them. But now we kind of have a group that's kind of been through the whole thing together, and they've started to develop some relationships and some friendships, which is pretty fun, which would not have happened otherwise. So parents have kind of been on board with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, we definitely had situations when we did it early on. I'll use Bloomsburg again as an example, where they tried to do a login and they had some students some children that were, you know, kind of reticent at the beginning. They were very used to like having one-on-one Sunday school and not having to step outside of their comfort zone. And I know after that initial, you know, time or two of the logging on, that they kind of pulled back from that a little bit and found that, for them at least, it made more sense for them to continue to do face-to-face Sunday school with just that one-on-one connection. So it really wasn't necessarily for everyone. I think the interesting thing with the shift that we had with COVID is just the idea that it was no longer like the congregation's decision to do that. It became kind of an individual parent's decision, which I think kind of shifted that a little bit. But we've had a lot of really good positive feedback, certainly from people that have participated.
Yeah, I definitely think it helps if the kids have a connection ahead of time, like they've seen each other at reunion or at camps. I think it makes it a little more familiar, although I don't think it's impossible to build community with kids that you've never met face to face. I mean, I think it's just how often you get to see them. So if every Sunday for the last 3 months the kids have met online, I think they begin to feel like they know each other and they're friends. So and one of the things that came up with starting the online Sunday school, my granddaughter lives in Oregon and she flew out for a reunion and got to know Aaron's kids, and they had stayed connected online. And my grandson that lives out there was too young to fly in for a reunion, so he didn't. But now he's friends with Aaron's son just because they've connected online and they've never met face to face. So, I mean, I think it helps to have that face to face friendship, but I don't think it's, you know, critically important. I mean, I think it's possible to develop community just online.
I know my own two are always looking for their, what they call their Sunday school friends on the main service page. So that's kind of fun. They'll scroll through all the faces and find their Sunday school friends, which is pretty cool. And these are people, like you said, that have never met in they've never met in person, but they have met through the online Sunday school.
Yeah, I think it is interesting because when COVID first hit, I think my family joined your guys' online ministry a couple of times, and my kids liked it, don't get me wrong, but they did feel out of place because they felt like everybody else knew each other and they didn't necessarily know anybody. So it's been interesting to navigate that space of, okay, we love this idea, but they weren't super enthused about it just because it was nerve-wracking. The nervousness of stepping into a new classroom or a new camp or whatever transferred over really well online. So, but then I will say that our congregation has done some online stuff for kids, and we have some Seeker families who have visited, you know, surrounding congregations that hadn't made their way to Salt Lake yet, but their kids still participate, and my kids are now good friends with their kids, and they technically have not met yet. So we're now just kind of chomping at the bit of when we can actually be together and meet in person. So I totally hear what you guys are saying in that it's not impossible to make friendships online when you haven't met face to face, but it does make it easier when there's that connection already. So,
and I had expressed early on, kind of to our mission center leadership, that it was really important for the groups to be small. At one point we had like 30 people logging on, and that's 30 families. And that was a lot, not only for the person who's facilitating to manage, because you don't even know what the kids' names are because they often have their parents' names on there. So I'm trying to talk to kids and address them so they can feel valued and heard with our discussions. But I didn't even know who they were, you know, and that was very difficult when we had so many. And I was really hoping that, and it sounds like a lot of people have kind of started their own local Sunday schools, which was always kind of my hope that you'd have some people that would take our idea and kind of go with it locally. So kids can have those personal connections.
And that was part of the learning process for us too. I know, like, you know, we ended up with 35 or 40 people. We're like, I don't know how we manage this. And someone's like, well, there's these breakout rooms. And we tried those, and that kind of worked, but kind of didn't. And then over time, I feel like whether it was, you know, just people just being overwhelmed with all of the online stuff, our numbers did kind of shrink a little bit. And it's interesting, you know, now when you look at the numbers that we have and the people that are coming to join the online Sunday school, the majority of them are not from our mission center. I would say probably maybe 20 to 25% are from MAMC, and the rest of them are coming from other places. And it's some people that we had connections to before, but it's a lot of people that, you know, logged on and have just continued to take that online journey with us. But the more we do it, it seems like the more we have people that are from outside the mission center, which is kind of neat.
And I think people that don't live within close proximity to any congregation. So they're a Community of Christ member, but they don't have anywhere to attend on Sundays. And they have children that they really want to be a part of our faith community. And I think the online Sunday school has really helped in that regard, that they have, so they can connect with the community. And then perhaps, you know, they'll be able to attend reunions or camps or some other ways to kind of add to that connection. But just on an every Sunday basis, it's given them an avenue to connect with us.
Yeah, I know that in the Salt Lake congregation, we've kind of seen the same thing, where people who don't have a congregation near them, or they're not meeting online or whatever it may be, have just hung around. And I'm happy to be that place for people, especially in this time of so much isolation and feeling disconnected from a community. I'm very, very much into the community aspect of church. And so however we can maintain that, I am always pro that. So it's good to hear that people are able to still engage their children, even if they're not connected with a congregation that is able to provide that ministry. But then it's also great to hear that there have been some congregations that have been able to take the idea that you have started and to do it on their own. So any other reflections on how the kids have responded, maybe from the parents in the group, or just any other reflections on that?
My son especially has loved engaging online with his friends. He did say in the beginning he did have a hard time finding them through all the other children that he didn't know. So he would get really disappointed afterwards, saying that it just wasn't the same as before. And the number of participants has gone down since then. And he hasn't really been complaining about it now. But I think it was just an adjustment, because he was transitioning from what he was used to something new. But I can tell that the kids are, they leave the experience feeling good and like they've connected with others. It's been really hard during COVID for the kids just to be home all the time and not see their friends. So this has given them an opportunity to connect that they wouldn't otherwise have.
So I'm curious about the curriculum that you all have used. That's one question that I know that I get a lot. And my go-to is just always the church's resources. But I'm wondering what curriculum you have used, and even if it is the church's resources, how you have been able to adapt it online. What does a typical gathering for you all look like?
I'll speak to that one, because we were the original ones planning it, and then Joanna has nicely stepped in. Thank you. When we first started out, I was pretty new to the Sunday school stuff, because I wasn't really the one doing our Sunday school lessons. But when we kind of transitioned to more online, some of our teachers were not as comfortable teaching online as we would be as being teachers. So, but we were already using the World Church resources, and they are absolutely wonderful. I can't say enough about how many great things they have out there for our kids. And so that was always our core structure to it. And the nice part about that is then our kids were going from the Sunday school experience, listening to the scripture story, kind of breaking it down into more familiar language for them. And then they would be going into, for most of them, going into our main services and hearing that story and that scripture being referenced again. And I remember the first time that we were listening to the service with my kids, and the first time that they were like, wait, that's the story we just told in Sunday school. And it was so neat to be able to have them make those connections. And so we've always kind of used the World Church resources that are out there and just kind of added pieces for online that would benefit the kids. We've added some videos and some different stories and things that would enhance the lesson that would be online.
I know for us, like, you know, and again, having some experience with teaching online, and Anne typically takes things, whatever they were from the World Church, that was awesome, and then tries to Anneize them, which over time we've kind of throttled back on that a little bit. The first couple of weeks, you know, it was like, there was one point where we ordered some sort of biblical figurines off the internet, and my son made some sort of video with stop animation for the first scripture story. There was the infamous paper cutout disciples that
they were great.
They made a walk over while they're building some pyramids. I mean, there was some pretty impressive stuff those first couple of weeks. But we found as we moved on that, you know, sometimes simpler is better. And so I think the format we really kind of settled into was, you know, as people were coming in, we tried to kind of greet people, have them kind of sign in either on the chat, or we fiddle around sometimes with people just signing their names on some sort of opening slide. And then we would typically do 10 to 15 minutes of like campfire songs or praise music. And so that kind of got the kids kind of moving around. And then Anne would do some sort of an introduction. We'd go through the scripture and some of the materials from the World Church. And then from there, we would typically find some sort of a video that would go along with the scripture that would kind of, again, break that down into kid language. And then we'd usually finish up with some sort of craft. And in most cases, the craft part, you know, we'd spend some time scouring the internet trying to find some crafts that were interesting for the kids, that were involving not just like a coloring page, but, you know, kind of like building something or creating something. I'm trying to think of some of the crafts we did.
Well, the interesting challenge with the crafts was during COVID, I didn't want to force people to have to go out and purchase items because some people weren't comfortable going out to buy items, or they weren't available. So I had to find crafts that would be able to be done with whatever they could find. So a lot of the craft ideas were common items that you'd have in your kitchen or bathroom or whatever. And then I would just say, and an alternative to that would be this, and give lots of different options for whatever people had at their house, because I didn't want to have people feeling like they needed to go out and purchase things during that time.
So. Yeah, and it was kind of neat, like, as we did the crafts, to kind of see, like, how creatively some parents and some kids did the craft. You're like, oh, we told you to use marshmallows, but you use duct tape. Good job, you know. So kids would find ways to do those crafts with whatever they had available. And then typically we would finish up having them share out the craft that they created. We'd sing some sort of song together, and then they would kind of have one of the kids volunteer to close us out in prayer. So that tended to be the format that we followed. It seemed to work pretty well.
We just found that the kids, regardless of what the theme was or the scripture story, they really just wanted to feel valued and heard. So I learned a lot at the beginning to talk less and let the kids talk more, because that's what they really enjoyed, was that piece of feeling like they could share out whatever was, you know, we always did highs and lows, so they could kind of share out personal things that were celebrations and things that were a struggle for them during that time, recognizing that it was challenging for everybody. And they kind of heard that from each other, of this is a struggle, not only for kids, but for adults too, but also just so that they felt like that their ideas were heard. That was an important piece that we kind of learned early on too with this.
I think another thing we learned early on was that you have to really have a facilitator with the child. So I think at first we were kind of thinking like, oh, kids can log on and just do the Sunday school. And it became clear, like, no, there has to be an adult there to kind of just, you know, give them the supplies or help them stay focused or not interrupt, that kind of thing. So our vision of what it was going to be really evolved, I think, over time, and with the talents of Jim and Ann being able to figure out what worked and what didn't work so well in an online format. So I will say our very first class had a ton of glitches. Like we weren't that familiar with Zoom. So we didn't know you couldn't have two devices in the same room logged on without like a terrible echo. And there was, and you know, we were like fretting and like, oh no. And we just wanted it to be so perfect. And at the end of the class, Anne had asked if one of the kids wanted to do a closing prayer. And, and Aaron's son Noah offered that prayer. And I thought, well, this is why we're doing it, right? It just made it all worth it for him to say, thank you, God, for such an amazing class. It was like, okay, the glitches and the technical stuff, that's not important. What's important is they had a moment to connect. And I think we have to remember that it, you know, sometimes the best laid plans don't work out, or the vision might change a little bit, but the kids are getting a lot out of that connection. And that's really the priority.
And even to that, flipping back, two things. Number one, it works better if you have one facilitator per child, if you can do that. Because trying to like do the online Sunday school and like manage our own children, and like we've gotten very good at like sending like death dart stares, like without people seeing it on screen. Maybe you guys have managed that as well. But beyond just like the best laid plans not going the way they should, like anybody with any sense when we did this at the beginning would have been like, what are you people thinking? Like our first setup when we did this, like we were in Gatchelville, which is like 50 miles from any sort of civilization, with no actual internet, trying to run this through a 3G hotspot and trying to figure out why it was glitchy, you know? And I mean, it led to like, you know, we eventually purchased internet at Gatchelville so that would work better. And then right about that time, boom, COVID. And then, so we found ourselves, you know, dealing with not just the learning part about working with kids, but also the technological aspects of that, or like, what kind of microphone do I need so they can hear me presenting the lesson? And how do I get the audio to work when I show the video? And a lot of those things as well have definitely been added challenges that we've had to try to figure out as we've gone through the process.
So I have to say, because this is not going to be a video podcast, people will not be able to see how much we are all laughing on mute as we've been going through these glitches. And it just is so relatable. And I just wanted to acknowledge that, because I think so often we feel like we have to have all of our ducks in a row before we can do something, or it has to be perfect, or, you know, that our performance or whatever you want to call it has to be top notch. But really, ministry, a lot of it is throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks and experimenting. And really, I mean, the mission prayer says risking something new. And with risk can come vulnerability and mistakes and humor. And so I just really appreciate hearing how the ministry has evolved. And just recognizing that it was not perfect from the start. It's totally relatable to anybody listening to this. So, Joanna, I want to give you an opportunity to share a little bit about, you know, the format and the structure of the class, because I hear that now you're kind of on deck in the planning. Is that right? You're currently planning the services?
Yes. Yes, I am. And I was saying when I took over the teaching, we had just finished all the Pentecost and Ascension and Easter stuff. And it was like, well, what am I going to teach now? So I did go to World Church, and they had started with the first lesson in sacredness of creation. And so I kind of went with that and built on it. And so at this point, I'm using the World Church material and sticking a enduring principle onto that, so that we've been reviewing and learning a new enduring principle each week.
I think that that's so important for children's ministry. And I know that I usually try to bring it back to the enduring principles too, because yes, our theology is grounded in the Bible and in the Gospels and in the story and life of Jesus. But we do have a little quirky identity that I just fell deeply in love with, and that is the enduring principles. So I appreciate that you are, you know, explicitly lifting those up and helping our kids really grasp them and take some ownership of our enduring principles as well. So I'm now wondering, because we are moving into, you know, reunion season and camping season, where traditionally we would be meeting together, and that is such an important part of Community of Christ identity, especially for children and youth ministry. I'm curious to know what your plans are for the camping season. And then I also just kind of have like an overarching question of, you know, just general things that you think that mission centers or congregations should be considering when moving online, planning reunion materials, that kind of thing online. What is that going to look like for you all?
So the for the camping and reunion seasons, the Mid-Atlantic Mission Center and the Eastern Great Lakes Mission Center, they've both gotten together and we're doing a 31 days, 31 ways. So there's going to be different activities throughout the month of July. As far as the children ministry goes, the children and youth ministry from the Mid-Atlantic Mission Center has gotten together and we've decided to put some different activities online for the children to do and the youth to do. And so I've really been spearheading the children's activities since the parents probably will not be taking the week of reunion off because we don't have reunion. And so they're going to be working. I've decided not to do a lot of Zoom. We will be continuing with the Zoom with Sunday school. However, most of what I've done, and Ann and Jim have helped me do a couple of these too, is I've done some videos and posted them on YouTube. So I've done object lessons with scriptures. I'm actually getting ready. My girls are very excited. We're going to be doing a video soon talking about Jesus calming the storms and making root beer floats at the same time with that. So they're very excited to help mommy with that one. And just, I have some family challenges, kindness bingo, nature photo hunt, ways to keep in touch with different members in the mission center. And then Jamie and Drew Lynch, who are also on the children and youth ministry team, actually Jamie's in charge of that, are doing different activities for the junior high and senior high kids.
I'm super grateful for all of them that have done a lot of stuff for the kids in our mission center. I know it takes a lot of time and sometimes it's a thankless job when you put all the effort into it. So thanks to Joanna and all the crew that's put together a lot of stuff for our kids for this time.
Yeah, that was a lot of creativity, obviously, that's been put into that. A lot of intentionality, a lot of thinking outside the box. I appreciate that you said that you were maybe going to move away from Zoom for some of those things and have it really be family focused and things that, you know, people can do together with their families. Because at this point in the pandemic, I do think that at least my kids are a little bit zoomed out. So I do really appreciate, I mean, I have to echo what Ann said, that I really appreciate that there are ministers that are willing to get creative and to, you know, keep the energy going, because the loss of camps, I am feeling it really strongly this year, and I know that everybody is. So the fact that there are still ministers out there that are willing to put forth their best creative effort to making it a good summer, I just deeply, deeply appreciate. So if a mission center, and I understand that we're several months into COVID, but what kinds of things would a mission center or a congregation need to consider when doing online ministries with kids? We've talked about it a little bit. But if people are hearing this for the first time, I mean, gosh, and I'm even like speaking for myself thinking, you know, we've tried a few things here or there, but like nothing's really stuck for the kids in our congregation. And I'm feeling like we could have, should have been doing more. So if there was a person like Brittany Mangelson that came to you and said, help, or what should I be doing? What would your advice be to them?
I just think you just kind of have to think about the needs of the group that you have. I know it's super important. We've talked about this a lot on here of just making sure that those kids feel valued. So when your numbers get so big that you don't feel like you're having that personal connection, you probably need to break it into smaller groups. That kind of happened naturally for us, or I was going to try to reach out to the other mission centers and just say, hey, can we split up our groups only for numbers reasons? To make sure that all kids are feeling valued and heard. I think that's really important, and we start to lose kids when their voices aren't heard, and that's in person or online, probably even more important online. So that piece of just kind of make sure you're listening to the needs of the kids.
And I would also say, you know, like for me, I mean, things are definitely going to change each week, but I think the fact that our Sunday school has had the same basic structure each week is beneficial. I think especially right now when everything is just kind of up in the air and we don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow or where things are going, have something that has a structure to it that kids know that, hey, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., like I can log into this thing and we're going to sing some praise songs and then we're going to do this and then we're going to do that. I think that does bring something to it. And it doesn't need to be the same structure for everyone. What we've done has worked for us, but some sort of structure that, there's some sort of continuity to the way that it's delivered. And I think that's important too. Also, try to find someone else who's willing to help you with it that's not in your house over time. Because it's one of those things like you start it and people are like, hey, can you guys do this for like a couple weeks? And you're like, sure. And then a couple weeks later, people are like, we noticed that you're still doing this, but we're not going to say anything because if we say something, then it might go away. And then you're like, hey, Ryan, we'd really like to maybe like kind of transition out of this. And Ryan doesn't answer your emails or he doesn't have anybody. And then you have to guilt trip poor Joanna into doing this, who is like a superstar because not only is she doing the online Sunday school, but she's also like simultaneously single-handedly wrangling two children at the same time. It's like a superpower.
It's way impressive.
So definitely making sure when you do this, that you have a plan moving forward of like, at some point you personally are going to be like, okay, like, I can't do this week or something might come up and having something in plan that of how you're going to be relieved of that duty or share that responsibility so you don't get overwhelmed.
I would say also have a contingency plan. I know Aaron has helped me with the Zoom and Jim and Ann have helped me with the Zoom and the tech part of it. But in doing that, you're worried about the connection and the weather, not only where you are, but where they are. And if things freeze up, you need to be ready to just go with it and just try to keep it smooth. And I would say the other thing is with anything that you're trying new, give it a little time, because I know sometimes we try something and it doesn't quite reach our expectations the first week or so. And then we're just like, okay, that doesn't work. But I think that you need to give it time and tweak it as it goes along, as opposed to just giving up completely on a new idea. Because, like they were saying with the first lesson in the prayer, you just don't know who you're reaching and who you're touching. And, we're so critical of ourselves, and yet there are people out there, kids out there who need it and are getting something from it.
And I think just from a logistics standpoint, the other thing I would mention is that I feel like if you are doing this, that it is best to have at least two people involved in the process, for several reasons. I mean, not even get into the liability and the too deep leadership kind of thing. But beyond that, just the logistics of it, having one person, like that's been my job throughout the process, is I'm kind of getting the tech stuff set up and I'm kind of managing the chat and I'm kind of like, muting and unmuting people. I'm kind of facilitating the meeting, and that frees Ann up to go through and basically really make those connections with kids and focus on delivering the content and actually delivering the lesson. So that's what we've tried to recreate with Joanna. And again, we've had some issues with technology for sure with that. But just having a couple people there, someone can kind of run the back end and someone can kind of run the front end, to us has really been invaluable. It kind of frees the person who's doing the class up from being freaked out about the tech. And it's an opportunity to find people with different skill sets. I mean, you may find somebody who's like, I'd love to do this, the Sunday school thing, but I don't even know how to turn on Zoom. And that might be a person who's fantastic with kids, but they're worried about that part of it. And you may have somebody else that's like, I don't know about kids, but I'm really good with the tech stuff. And you have an opportunity for those people to work together in a way that can be beneficial for both and for the Mission Center and for the church as well.
I was going to say, this whole process has really highlighted for me how important it is to have connections with people outside of your just own congregation. If I had not visited Gatchelville, I wouldn't have known they had such an amazing Sunday school and vacation Bible school program. And if Aaron hadn't come to reunion, the kids wouldn't have made those friendships that they desired to continue. So I think it's important to realize that, our faith community extends beyond the walls of our congregation. So find the people that have the skills, like Jim was saying, that are able to contribute in specific ways. And I think all congregations are uniquely gifted, but that doesn't mean, your congregation has to do everything. Look to other congregations that you can connect with or contribute to or benefit from their ministry. That's just so important, I think.
I'm going to add into what you said of, we have some really gifted kids I've learned in this process too, that a lot of them love to be in the spotlight of being able to share. So, you know, having a spot for them where you maybe let them tell the Bible story for that Sunday, or, you know, they love to be creative in that way, and giving them a heads up ahead of time kind of lessens that anxiety. But we have some really gifted kids out there who could take some of that responsibility as well. And kids love hearing from kids. So
I'm glad you brought that up, Anne, because I think Meredith, you already touched on that Aaron's son gave the prayer in one of the first gatherings, or possibly the first gathering. And we have permission to share that at the end of this podcast, so everyone will be able to hear that. But Aaron, I guess then for you, I have the question. As a parent, I know that when my kids have been asked to participate in ministry, a lot of times they say yes because they really like the counselor, or they really like, you know, the minister that has asked them. So when it comes from me, their dumb old mom, it's not as well received. So I'm just wondering, I mean, I specifically called out Aaron, but this is really for anyone. How is it getting kids engaged in online ministries? Because I know that when my kids have been asked, you know, it is funneled through me. And so they're still kind of hesitant. It's like, oh, mom, you know, they want me to get on Zoom, so I guess I'll do it. And I just have seen less enthusiasm with my own kids. But I'm wondering if my kids are just the Debbie Downer anomaly in that.
My daughter, who's 12, she started becoming more shy. And so she hasn't really shown any interest in participating online. But at church, if she's given the opportunity to be like in a puppet show or maybe say a prayer, she's really willing to do that and happy to do so. But my son, he really likes to be the center of attention. So he's always offering to participate and volunteer and do things. So he really likes the experience online. And I think he likes to see himself online too.
I love that. Obviously, anyone that is a parent or has been around more than one kid knows how different personalities are, but in thinking of even my own kids, how vastly, vastly different they are. So it's just funny. Again, everyone on the call is giggling a little bit because we all get it.
Jim, didn't you tell me about the first time how your son Connor was like, I just want to read the scripture. When am I going to get to read the scripture? And you were like, hey, I like this.
Yeah, and I think for us that was one of those things that kind of led to some of the stuff that we created at the beginning, was like, you know, here's an opportunity. And our kids, Gatchaville and our mission center as well, have done a phenomenal job of involving our kids in worship. You know, like you said, beyond just the offering plate, like, and beyond just the children's moments, like, our kids are very, very involved in Gatchaville. Whether it's, you know, playing a slightly less than average introit music on the piano, or whether it's, you know, doing some sort of reading, like, that's always been part of our kids' experience in this church. Online kind of changed that a little bit, you know, and for me, I was like, okay, well, what are the skill sets that my kids have, like, to get them involved? And that's where kind of like we did that first video. You know, my son's really into doing stop animation videos. I can send you one with a Dramamine if you'd like to watch it after we're finished. So we're like, well, let's, you know, we need to do the scripture. So let's do the scripture thing. And so we set the whole thing up. And I remember, you know, we're on the kitchen counter and we're trying to figure out like what lights to turn on and lights to turn off. And it's like a whole family thing where like one person's running the camera and somebody's moving popsicle sticks and somebody's like moving Jesus while he's getting baptized by John the Baptist. And I mean, it became this really major production. And I just remember, you know, when we showed it, just like how excited my son was, Connor was, you know, for people to see what he had created. And same thing with some of the artistic stuff. Like, my daughter loves to draw. And so, you know, let's sketch out the pyramids on this ginormous piece of butcher paper. And let's, you know, color in these little figurines and have them walk across the screen. I guess that's part of it too, is, you know, where is the giftedness lie? What are the interests of the kids that you're involving in that process? And how can you kind of, you know, open up opportunities for them to share in the ways that they're gifted? So that is pretty neat. Yeah.
Something that we often say on Project Zion when we talk about mission is that mission is contextual. So meeting the needs of the people where you're at and responding to that. And I'm going to sound really, I don't know what the word is, dumb here in saying that, you know, I had not really, in hearing you talk, Jim, I hadn't really like put that with children's ministry, right? Like I'm not a natural kids teacher, so I just kind of stick to the script and I'm too afraid to veer off. But really tapping into the interests of the kids, I think is key and can especially be key when it comes to online ministries where there is maybe a little bit more hesitancy. So I'm not sure what that means for me, but I feel like you've just cracked open my world into actually listening to the kids a little bit more and responding to their natural interests. So thank you for that.
Well, and to be fair, on the flip side of that, we've also had like weekly epic battles over who gets to play the tambourine during praise music. So, you know, you want to be careful how far you want to go with that. We're going to have to buy another tambourine because every Sunday it's like, we're like, oh, it's time for Sunday school again. And someone's salty by the end of praise music every single week. And then we got to try to figure out how to bring them back in.
I love that the tambourine is the source of contention. This is so relatable. So relatable. Oh, too funny. So I think we've kind of already answered this question, but I guess I just want to hear maybe a few more of your thoughts just on creating community online. Do you think that it can be built online? I know that there still is some hesitancies within the church. I think that COVID kind of forced us all to face this question of online ministries and can we really maintain and strengthen communities online? And my hope would be that most people would say yes. But I just want to hear from you all. Do you think that you will continue to incorporate online ministries after COVID, whatever after COVID looks like? And then just in general terms, do you think that we can build and maintain communities in online spaces?
I think definitely we can build communities online. I think especially with this generation, they've always had this in their lives as opposed to us older people who had to learn it and get used to it. And honestly, I have found between Sunday school class and our online worship services that I have been fed. I'm an extrovert. And so the thought of social distancing with just in my house with just my two children and myself was pretty terrifying at the beginning, but just getting to see faces, getting to hear some of the chaos in the background with the kids really has fed me. And I know my children have been very excited to still get to see their friends. And honestly, they definitely get more interaction with children throughout church in the mission center with COVID and on this online ministry than before, because mine were the only two kids their age at our church. And so now they actually get to see their friends that they go to camp with. And, you know, my daughter was baptized with Ann and Jim's daughter, so they have that connection, but they get to see each other now instead of just at church. So, you know, I definitely think you can build community. And I've had many friends who, you know, have never in person met, but they have that community and that relationship.
Yeah, I would say in terms of continuing forward, it's not whether or not we will or whatever. It's like, how can we not? And I think when we look at like our mission center, even beyond the children's ministry, you know, I'll flip through the screen on a Sunday morning, and there are so many people that are connected to our faith community and have deep ties to our community, but have not set foot in one of our congregations for years because they're so far away. And to have situations and to hear those people just tell about how grateful they are to be able to have that connection with people. I don't think there's any way we can really go back. It's just a question of how do we manage that? How do we manage one more thing without like sacrificing our sanity or the programs that we have in place? And that's something that we'll definitely have to talk about as a group. And I think to me, like, you know, there's definitely ways to use online to build community. I look forward to when we can get to a point where it's not solely online community. And I know that we've really looked at finding opportunities to take that online community and try to find ways to kind of turn that into something that's not online. So I know, for example, you know, one of the people that was in our online church service was just so super excited. I mean, she's living in a retirement home. She's very, very conscientious about the fact that, you know, COVID is a bad thing for people of her age group. And so her social structure in that retirement village, like, she can't really visit with any of those people because she's terrified to go out, and she's almost being ostracized for that fear. And so for her to log in on Sundays and see people, she was just so excited. And our kids went through on a day and, you know, wrote up little cards. It was so great to see you at church yesterday. And you know, next time we saw her on Zoom, like, we showed her the cards that we had there. So things like that. I know, you know, Aubrey just randomly got a letter in the mail from her counselor from junior camp last summer. And just how cool it was, especially in these times, like, something that's not online. You're like, oh, I got this physical letter. That's pretty cool. And, you know, to have Aubrey take a moment to write back to her counselor in a non-virtual way, I think there's some novelty to that that wasn't present 3 months ago. You know, 3 months ago, oh, it's so cool, we can get on Zoom and see blank. Now it's like, oh, it's really neat, I got a letter in the mail, you know? And so that idea of not necessarily solely building community online, but using it as a way to kind of further the building of community that we're doing face-to-face in the physical world.
I just think back to the way this idea kind of started, came from the awareness that the kids were already connected online. They were already playing games together and Kids Messenger, and they were already connected. So it was just like, how can we help this be focused on faith and enduring principles and stuff too? Like, how can we tap into that connection they already have? So I absolutely am with Jim. That really can't go away. I mean, I feel like it's so helpful. I mean, we even had one Sunday where maybe a month into it, and Erin wasn't feeling well. So she said, oh, we're not going to be at church. The kids, you know, won't be able to log on. And we were like, okay. And then we said, oh no, wait a minute. They could log on from home. And she was like, oh yeah. It was like a whole just different way of thinking. Like, yeah, you don't have to log on from the church. You can log on from anywhere. So that's kind of the beauty of it. So even though they weren't able to come to the worship service that day, they still were able to do Sunday school. So I think there's just an element that's so important. And there's so many possibilities. Someone had talked about she has a grandchild that wants to be baptized, but she has to have the pre-baptismal classes. So perhaps we could do that online in a virtual class. I mean, there's just a ton of possibilities with it. And I think you can't unring that bell at this point. I think people are connected in ways that surprise them online. So I hope it doesn't go away.
As far as community building online, I really love the opportunity to be and stay connected. And I'd like it to continue, but I think that we also really miss the physical connections that we have. Even though the kids are able to see their friends and peers, they're also missing the older members of the church, the adults that they connected with every week and that they got to see. So I think it's also easier to, if you know someone or if you have these friendships prior to the online experience, because it's like you're seeing your friends again, and it might be harder for new people to come in where they don't know anyone. And, you know, they're kind of one face of many, but not really know anyone in the group. So I think it's important to try to figure out how we can connect with someone who may be a first time worship service participant, and figure out how we can make them feel welcome so that they'll come back again, that we saw them and that we're interested in establishing a relationship with them.
I think that that's a really important point. And I feel like I've been doing online ministries for so long with Latter-day Seeker ministries and things. And so I kind of just assume that everyone's comfortable with it and assume that everybody's going to know what's going on. And that's not the case at all. You know, there's a lot of people where COVID was the first time that they had ever downloaded Zoom, which felt very odd to me because I'd been using it, you know, years at this point. But yeah, I think it's really important to remember that these friendships, this routine, all these things that we've just become accustomed to and that we're comfortable with, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is comfortable with it. And then, yeah, I totally agree about keeping online ministries as an element of what congregations or mission centers are regularly providing. I know that in Salt Lake, we have several members who live very far away, hours and hours away, but their records are in Salt Lake and they don't have a local congregation. And we've been able to connect with them in, you know, a lot more often than in regular times, because we normally would just see them at Mission Center Conference, but now we get to see them every single week. And so there's been a plea of sorts of, you know, when you guys can meet back in your building, don't forget about me, you know, let's keep this going somehow. And so we're currently exploring what that will look like. Even though Salt Lake is not planning on meeting together for quite some time, but just knowing that someday we will be sitting in a pew together again, and knowing that the outreach potential of doing online ministries and keeping that as part of what you're doing as a group is just really, really important. So yeah, just big ditto to everything that's been said. So I guess we're kind of coming to the end of our conversation, and usually I just like to ask if there was anything else that we missed, any final thoughts that you weren't able to say. And so I'll just throw that out to you. Does anyone have any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
I just wanted to say thank you for having us. It's been a lot of fun to kind of re-explore our journey that started in January as a group with all this, and just think about all the different things that we've tried and things that haven't worked and things that have worked, and just think about, you know, all those, the kids and have been blessed, but we have also been blessed in that process. So it's been a lot of fun to kind of talk through that journey with you today.
And I just want to emphasize again something you had said earlier, Brittany. We tend to think it has to be perfect before we try something. And I think what we have all discovered is try it and perfect it as you go. So don't be afraid, you know, if you have that idea or you have that voice that's, you know, kind of nudging you to do something new, take the chance and it can lead somewhere wonderful like this has.
One thing that I just thought of that I wanted to share was, as a new member of Community of Christ, my family had lots of questions. Most of my extended family are Catholic. And so I was speaking to an extended family member and I was telling them about our children's ministry. And they said, well, it's almost like you had a heads up that something was happening and that you wouldn't be able to meet at church. It's amazing that you had this already set up. And I said, well, you know, we belong to a prophetic church. And I just am really grateful that Meredith felt a strong need to get this started and followed through with it. So thank you. And thanks to everyone.
Once again, everyone just has big smiles on our faces and maybe some giggles, because I've thought the same thing. And I mean, I understand that Community of Christ uses prophetic maybe a little differently from the tradition that I was raised in. But I have to say, like, remember when we had the online communion?
That's what I was going to say. I remember that one. I was like, wait a minute. We just thought of that.
Right? It's like we were totally just primed and prepped for this. And mm-hmm. I can't help but think that in and of itself is a God moment. And, you know, we, in my little neck of the church internet world, we've been able to share the sacrament of communion with people that haven't been able to take it in months and months, if not years. But because of the prophetic impulse and being able to see that this is a need and that it was going to be a need, you know, we've been able to respond and fill that gap for people. So I'm right here with you, Erin. I think that it's pretty cool that we were just set up and ready to go. And so when a lot of denominations were totally scrambling to figure out how to move church online, you know, a lot of corners of Community of Christ were like, cool, we've been doing this for a few months or a few years, or, you know, like we have some experience with it. So I definitely hear what you're saying. So, okay. Anything else?
Yeah. I just wanted to add, you know, one of the great things about this, and it has been mentioned before, whether it be, you know, with children or with someone who, you know, is unable to go to church, one person living in a nursing home, that one of the beauties of online ministry is that you don't have the issue of, but there's only one. I've been told that a lot. I've actually been fighting for children's ministry a long time in our mission center. And oftentimes it's, but we don't have that many kids, or we only have one. And so I really like the fact that you can use online ministry to hit that one, because, you know, as a church, you know, worth of all persons, all are called, we definitely see the importance of everyone and not just saying. And so this enables us to hit every single one.
I think that is such a good point to raise. And how much easier is it to pay attention to the one when we are all able to be connected on the internet together? So yeah, I really, really appreciate that, Joanna. Well, I just want to thank you all for being here today. This was a conversation that I was really eager to have, because I know that a lot of congregations or mission centers have done online ministries with kids before, but because I was able to attend a time or two with you guys and being in touch with Ryan, the mission center president, I just decided, like, no, this is actually a conversation that needs to happen and could be helpful for others. So I just want to thank you all for joining us today and being part of this conversation and lending your voice and your experience. I think it's really important and will really drive us into the future, because, again, just to echo what everyone is saying, I think that we're going to need to continue to do this in some fashion moving forward. So thanks again.
All right, everybody, pray with me. Dear God, thank you for having this amazing Sunday school meeting with all of our friends. Let's hope we can do this another day. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.